Well, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. So it's a very special letter because we're seeing Paul writes to thank them and encourage them. He thanks them for the gifts because he's in prison in Rome and they sent gifts to him. But he also writes to encourage them to stand for Jesus Christ. As we move into chapter 4, we're seeing some very practical truths and principles from God's Word that we can apply. Now, for the last few weeks, here's what we've been seeing. Now, think about it. We've seen the charge to stand firm. We've seen the charge to live in unity, to live a life of joy and gentleness, to not be anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God passes all understanding. Guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what we saw. We saw that in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And there's so much there. Now, this morning, as he continues, he's going to do two things. He's going to start talking about our thinking and our actions. It's very powerful. We want to learn from this section of God's Word. It want to help us grow as we seek to stand for Christ. So as we begin, let me just raise a couple of questions for you to think about. First of all, what should we be putting into our minds? In other words, what is the thing that we ought to be thinking on? What should we do? And the second thing is, what things should we practice, apply in our lives? It's very powerful. And so as we think about those truths, we want to look at this passage and see how God's Word can shape us. Well, you know, there are two things that do go together. They're connected with each other and they affect each other. And that is what we think and how we act. Do we realize that what we think affects how we act? What we think will ultimately come out in how we're acting. I mean, you may not realize that. The book of Proverbs says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, as you think, that's what you become. The things that we think on, the things we put in our brain, that's what we're going to be like. What we put in our minds comes out in our actions. That's the great truth of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a great truth there, Galatians 6, 7, that whatever you put in is going to be coming out. It is so important that we think on good things, that we put good things in our minds, because what we think will eventually come out in our lives. And so what we think is going to be how we live. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, guard your hearts. It is the wellspring of life. He says, guard your heart. The idea of what's coming in, be careful what you're bringing into your life, to your mind, to your heart, because that's going to come out. It's the wellspring of your life. That's what comes out. Well, this morning, Paul tells the Philippians to be thinking on the good things. And so whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's pleasing, whatever's good repute, if there's anything excellent, he says, think on these things. We want to see the importance of what we think, because knowing this, that what we think will affect how we live, is pretty powerful. As we look at this passage, not only verse 8, but verse 9 then goes into the whole idea of living out what you know. And we're going to see it sort of ties together what you think and what you do. So these two verses deal with our thinking and our actions. As we move to chapter 4, we're going to see some things that are very, very practical. Paul gives this charge. Now we saw it. Let me give you a little review. Chapter 4, verse 1. And notice what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord. And that idea there was to keep standing firm in the Lord. That was the idea, to keep on doing that. He said earlier in the letter, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He said, forgetting what the things are behind, press on to what is ahead. He's talked about living in unity. So over and over, the whole idea of standing firm for Jesus Christ. Then last time, we saw that he went on to talk about, and he gave this great charge here, and that is to rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And that's what he said. He said, have joy in the Lord, because joy in the Lord is based on our relationship and our fellowship with God. Happiness is based on circumstances. We cannot say we can be happy because sometimes the circumstances are bad, but we can always have joy. And that's why he says, rejoice in the Lord, because it's based on our relationship and fellowship with him. He talked about being gentle. He talked about that the Lord was near. And then he said those great verses that we quoted just a while ago about being anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. He says, lift your request to God. It doesn't matter. He says, don't be worrying about things, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, lift up your request. The end result is the peace of God, and we talked about that. From that, this morning, we continue on in the letter, and it's such a powerful thing. When you study the Bible, it is so great. You take the book like the letter to the Philippians, written to a church by Paul the Apostle, but the information there can be applied by all of us. And so as we continue on, there's some great things. And let me break it down for you. He does two things this morning. One, in Philippians 4, 8, 9, in verse 8, he talks about our thinking. He says, let your mind dwell on certain things. So he's talking about what we think. And then in verse 9, he talks about our action, and he says, practice these things. So in verses 8 and 9 this morning, we're going to talk about our thinking and we're going to talk about our actions. And one of the things that we'll realize is that how we think affects our actions. And how we act then ultimately comes back and is going to deal with our contentment. And we'll see that because the rest of the passage, starting at verse 10 on down, talks about being content in whatever circumstances that we're in. So there's some great things there. Let's begin by looking at our thinking. Now remember, here's the key. Whatever you put into your mind is going to affect you. Whatever we put into our mind is going to affect us. It is important to think the right thing. Sometimes we don't realize that we just go through life and we say, you know, it doesn't matter what we watch on television or the movies, the books we read, the magazines, the things we hear. It just doesn't matter. We say it doesn't matter. But the truth is, whatever you're allowing to come into your brain and whatever you're thinking about and what you're doing is going to affect you. It's important that we think the right things. John Walvoord, who was the former president of Dallas Seminary, he was the president when I was there. I just love the man. He's passed away, of course. But he said this. He says, there are key areas that should characterize the believer's thought life. Well, what are those key areas? What are they? Well, Paul tells us in verse 8. Let me just read the verse. Listen to what it says. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And so he basically says, look, there are things to think about. Dwell on these things. Just as Paul said that you can have the peace of God when you pray, we also realize that when we're thinking on the right things, there's the peace of God in our lives, and we'll see it as we go through. Notice he starts off by saying finally, because he's now toward the end of the letter. We've only got about 3 or 4 more lessons in the book of Philippians as we put this whole thing together. It's a very powerful book. It's helped us a lot. It's helped me a lot. I hope it's helped you as much as it's helped me, because as I've studied it over the weeks and got to teach it, there's so many things here that you can study and say, okay, I want to live this out in my life. And this morning, we're going to talk about what you think and what you do. It's very, very powerful. So he says, finally, brethren. And of course, he's writing to believers. He's writing to those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. And so he's going to get to the key point, and that is about how we think. Look at the very end of verse 8. He says, dwell on these things. This is his charge. And so what we want you to see, he says, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, there are 8 things that he mentions there. In fact, if you look at it and count them, there are 8 things that he says. Whatever is this, whatever is this, whatever is this. 8 different things. But before we get to those 8 things, let's think about the command, because the command is at the very end of the verse, and he says, dwell on these things. What's that mean? It really means to put your mind on these things, to think about these things. We might even say it this way, meditate on these things. Now, you have to be real careful, because today when people use the word meditation, they don't really mean it in the biblical way. There are people who are always saying, won't you meditate? Well, that goes to the whole issue of Eastern mysticism, because what a lot of people do today is they'll say meditation is sort of like yoga and things, and you clear your mind and you just let whatever comes into your mind come into your mind. That's not biblical meditation. The book, the bestseller, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. You've seen that book. The writer mentions numerous times to meditate, and here's what he says. He says, clear your mind, relax, let whatever comes in take control. No. No. Meditation, biblically, is taking the truths of God's Word and thinking on them. It is not clearing your mind. Eastern mysticism is clearing your mind. That's meditation, Eastern mysticism. The biblical meditation is to take truths and principles from God's Word and thinking on them, thinking about what they say. In fact, the word to meditate in the Greek and in the Hebrew both means to look at it from different angles. It's sort of like saying, I'm going to think about a truth, and I'm going to look at it in all different ways. He says to think on these things. Now, we talked about this earlier. How important is it to think on the things that are right and that are good? Because what we think about affects us. It has been said that the mind is your gateway, is the gateway to your heart. And what you end up, you'll end up loving and valuing what you think about. And there's a great truth that is scary. What you think about is going to come out in your life. That's why Jesus said, what you whisper in the dark will be shouted from the housetops. A man by the name of Croft Pence wrote this. He said this. He said, he who will not command his thoughts will soon lose command of his actions. And it is true that whatever you are putting in your mind is eventually going to come out in your life. And if you're thinking good things and you're thinking positive things, you're thinking biblical truths, that's what will come out in your life. But if you think in the worldview and you're thinking the things that you're seeing and reading and things that we'd say are impure and not good, that's what's going to come out in your life. If you're thinking things that are hateful and evil and sexual perversion and anger and pride, that's going to come out in your life. This will eventually be acted out. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. You become what you think. That's why Paul stresses, you must think on these things. Well, what things do we put in our mind? He lists eight things there, and they're good things. And before we think about that, you know, in our country, in our world, we are bombarded by bad things all the time. Whether it's the TV and the commercials and movies and the magazines and everything, is just there's messages just being pushed into our minds that are the wrong thing. And that's why the Bible, that's why, you know, when Paul talks about stuff in Romans 12, he says, stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed. If we are not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, we will unconsciously be conformed to this world. And it's happening. It happened to all of us. That's why it's unconscious. You don't even know what's happening. You go, it's not happening to me. Yes, it is, if you're not consciously being conformed or being transformed by the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I read this the other day. Listen to this statement. Read it. Without money, it is impossible to have the things that are really important. You believe that? I don't believe that, but that's what a lot of people believe that. That's what people read, whether it's radio, TV, movies, books, magazines. They're all pushing what I call the ungodly worldview into our minds. Paul says there are things that we should put in our mind, and the truth is this, the best way to deal with sinful or unhealthy thoughts is put in the good things in our mind. What are the good things? What are the things that we should be thinking on? Paul says this, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think. Dwell on those things. Let's see those things, and we'll take them. The first one is whatever is true. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true. That true means, you know, what is truth? Where do you find truth? We live in a world that doesn't have truth. People don't even say, in fact, there's some people that say there's no such thing as absolute truth, which is an absolute truth statement is what they're saying. So then that truth, that statement's not even true. But the bottom line is there truth? Yes, the truth is the Word of God. The Bible is perfect and true. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is truth. What do you want to put in your mind? You want to put the Word of God in your brain. It's truth. We need to think about Jesus. We need to think about the Word of God. We need to read the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to memorize the Word. I have a group of guys that meet, some on Wednesday morning, some on Thursday morning. We have these sheets that we memorize. We've got a sheet that's just called Essentials. It's probably got, I can't even remember how many verses on it. Maybe 50, 60, 70 on this page. Then we have another page we call Mega Essentials, which has the same number. Then we have another page that says More Mega Essentials. And these guys memorize these verses. And they may memorize 200 to 300 verses on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. Because we think it's very important that we put the Word of God in our mind, that we put the truth in our mind. Because our minds are bombarded by everything else. And so Paul says, look, whatever is true, put that in your brain. Think about it. What's a great thing that's true to think about? We think about our Savior. Who He is and what He has done for us. What He has done, what He is doing, what He will do. He is our Savior. And so the first thing we want to do is to put the truth in our minds. Put it in there. Memorize it. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We want to put God's word in our brain. Okay? Second thing. He says, whatever is honorable. Now this word honorable means something that is respected. The word has an idea of something that is honored. It even has an idea of the word that is honest. He says you want to think on things that are honorable, things that are noble. I think one of the greatest things we could ever think on is the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, think about how He came to the earth and He took our place. He became our substitute. He died on the cross. He bore in His body our sins when He was on the cross. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He died on the cross, took our sin upon Himself. He was buried and rose again, conquering death. And gives eternal life to all who believe. What a great thing to think on. What a great thing that is honorable to realize that our God loves us so much that Jesus Christ came and died in our place. That'd be a great thing to think on. And He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. And then he says a third thing, whatever's right. Now, the word right means just or fair. That's what it means. He says, think on the right things. Think on the things that are fair. How do we deal with others? You know, some people spend their time dealing with how they can take advantage of other people. We need to be spending our time putting our mind on the ways that we can do what's best for people. Think of the things that are right. Because, you know, we live in a world that's always trying to do something basically that's wrong, trying to get by with something, trying to figure out a way that you don't have to do this. We need to think of the things that are right. And so Paul says, listen, whatever is true, the Word of God, think on that. Whatever is honorable, things that are high up, so to speak, things that are noble, think on those. Whatever is right, because there are rights and wrongs, think on those things. Then he says the fourth one, whatever is pure. And this word means holy. It means things that are pleasing to God. That's what the word means. But it is used, this word is used more often. In fact, most every time it's used in the New Testament, the word means morally pure. It's the idea of what's morally right. Put in our minds, think on things that are pure. And he's dealing basically with sexual things, with moral things, things that are right and wrong, things that deal with us. It's so easy to have impure thoughts. Our minds can focus easily on the things that the world is pushing so many things. All you have to do is turn on the television or a magazine or a movie or anything, and you're bombarded with things that are not pure. And Paul says, you need to think on the things that are pure, things that would please God. Some of the thoughts we have, could you say, this is the thought I'd like God to know about? Look, he already knows about it anyway. But is this what you want him to think? Is this what you want him to know you're thinking about? So he says, whatever is pure. So he says, whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is right and whatever is pure. And then he gives another one, whatever is lovely. That sounds kind of funny, but the word has an idea of beauty, but the word means something pleasing. He says, whatever brings joy, whatever's pleasing. And you know, I think one of the things that is lovely to think about is the love of Jesus Christ. That is God's love for us. How God so loved us that he sent his son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So when we think of things that are lovely, we can think of things that are pleasing to God, God's love for us. Then he goes on and gives another one. He says, things that are of good repute. The word means a good report. It means something that you can announce. It means something that you'd want to talk about. He says, think on things that you'd want to talk about. And we're not talking about bad things. We're talking about good things you'd want to talk about. Things that are praiseworthy. Things about things that would be good to tell other people. I think there's two ways to think about this. One is I would think that one of the things we'd like to talk about, one of the things we want to think about that we'd like to talk about is the gospel message, how that we can tell people how to have eternal life. I think it breaks my heart, and I know for many of you in this room, you feel the same way, to know so many people in this community and in this world do not understand the way of salvation. They don't know the good news message. They've never understood that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He was buried and rose again, and he gives as a gift eternal life to all who will believe. It's simply that. Whoever trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior has eternal life. That is the greatest message. That's a message that we need to be thinking about and that we would like to report. But there's something more of this besides just the idea of that message, maybe. When he says, think of things that have good report or good repute, they would be things, we want to think about things to build up. It is so easy to tear down. It is so easy to think about people and to be critical of them. Think about it. Every one of us in this room, we can think about anybody in this room and we can be critical. Because we can always find something that we can criticize about every human being that we come in contact with. The closer you get to people, the more we rub each other and we say things like, oh, you're not the way I thought you were. Well, you're not the way I thought you were. None of us are the way we thought we were. Because we're fallen people. And what we want to do is not think the critical things about each other, but think the positive things about each other. He says, look, whatever is of good report, whatever is good repute, mean things you'd want to talk about, the ideas that we build up. Think about the ways that you could build up people. There are people you come in contact with every day, and you know you're going to come in contact with them. Maybe people you work with. Have you ever thought about when you wake up in the morning saying, what can I think of? I'm going to think now, what can I say to that person that will build them up today? Because we don't usually do that. We don't usually think about the other person. We usually think about ourselves. So what if we're thinking of the things that are good to report? Have you ever thought about when you meet people, look for something really positive about them. Like, you got pretty eyes, or you got this, or man, you look great, or man, I heard some great things about you. Or, I mean, you ever thought about building people up? And have you ever thought about thinking about building people up? Because that's what he's saying to do. Whatever's good report, good repute. You know, he could keep on going because he said whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute. And then what he does, he sort of stops. And he's going to try to sum it up with two different things. Notice he goes on to say, well, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, then dwell on these things. These last two, he starts with an if, and the idea of excellence means exalted things. Now, by the way, in the Greek, and you know that we've taught this many times, that there's four different kinds of ifs in the Greek, but this is what they call a first-class if, which means if and it's true. He says, if and it's true, there is any excellence. And there is. There is that things that are excellent. The word excellent means the exalted things. It means things that are up. The word sometimes is translated virtue. If there's anything virtuous, there's anything that you can think about that is lifted up. That's really what he's saying. And you can think about God and his character. In fact, if you think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, you know, self-control, all you think of that, that's the character of God. Fruit of the Spirit's character of God. You think about God's character, that is something that is exalted, that is lifted up, that is excellent. He's saying think of the good stuff, the excellent stuff. And then he says, and if there's anything worthy of praise. And the idea there is the things that you want to praise. Now, the truth is this. The greatest thing to be praised is God. The Psalms say, let everything that has voice praise God. And that'd be a great thing to do. Think about how we can praise God. Think on the things that he has done. I think the most amazing thing when I think about God, and we could say his love and his grace, I mean, his love and his sovereignty and his power, but it all goes back to me that his grace to us. And his grace, you know, comes, you know, his love is response to his to all of that. But the grace of God that he would save us, he didn't have to. And we don't do anything because it's grace. If we do something for it, we earn it, but we don't earn it. It's all the grace of God. Think about his grace that's worthy of praise. So he says this, whatever's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good report, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything praiseworthy, and there is, keep putting these things in our minds. That's the charge. Keep thinking on this. Dwell on this. That's what the word dwell means. In fact, the Greek word when he says dwell on this, that Greek word means to credit to your account. Like if you had $100 and you go into the bank and you go, well, let's be honest. If you had $10 and you go into the bank and you want to put it in the bank and you say, put this on my account, you're crediting it to your account. He says, deposit this stuff in your brain. Credit this stuff to your brain. Whatever's pure and lovely and honorable and gracious and all of those things in good repute and excellent and above, deposit this on your mind. Be thinking about these things. Be thinking about these things. Paul says, whatever is good and worthy and that what God would praise, put this in our minds. We're to be thinking about the things that build up. It's so easy to think of the critical things, the natural things. We have the flesh, the natural bent to sin. It is so easy to do that. James Dobson, it's been about 15, 18 years ago, was on the commission, the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. What they had to do was look at stuff and try to determine if it was pornography or not. You remember what they finally concluded? They finally said, we can't hardly define pornography. We just know what it is when we see it. James Dobson says, I had to look at stuff. He says, that was in my mind. He said, I had to do everything I could to think on the right things to get that junk out of my mind. So be careful what we're putting in. Because sometimes we say it really doesn't matter what movie I see. It doesn't matter what TV. It doesn't matter what I'm reading. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking. It just doesn't matter because it only affects me. No, it doesn't just affect you. It affects you and your relationship with God. But what you think is going to eventually come out in your life. As you think, so are you. So whatever you're putting in is going to be coming out. How is our thinking? How are we doing? What are we putting in? What are we getting out? Are we putting in the things of this world and the flesh that pull us down? Are we thinking about the things of God which are praiseworthy and higher, the Word of God, the things that are more excellent? It has been said that nothing hurts our character as much as impure thoughts. I don't want to be legalistic because I'm not, and our church has never been legalistic, but we got to be really careful on what we're allowing to go into our brains. Just be careful on what you're watching and what you're reading and what you're thinking about, because this is what he's saying. He says, listen, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, what is good repute, if there's excellent stuff, you dwell on that. Think on those things. So we want to focus our minds on that. Now from this, and very quickly I'm going to go to verse 9, because he now talks about actions. He moves from what we think to what we're supposed to do. And notice what he says, verse 9, the things that you have learned, received, and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So he's getting to action, and he says, practice these things. Practice the things. And we're going to talk about what things is he talking about. Well, there's two ways to break this up. First of all, he's going to say what he had taught them, he wants them to practice, and what they saw in him, his example, he wants them to practice. So look at it. The first two words, notice he says, the things you have learned and received, those deal with what he, go ahead and go to the next slide, those deal with what he taught them. That is, the things you learned and the things you received. Now let me show you something. When Paul says the things you have learned and received, the word learned is a very formal Greek word which means to learn by instructions. It means like you're in a class and they say, okay, everybody sit down. Okay, now here's what I'm going to teach you. And you begin to teach. That's what that word means. The things you have learned. He says, remember the things that I've actually taught you? He says, I want you to practice that. He also uses another word. He says, the things you've learned and received. The word received is less formal. It means to be taught, but it has an idea of tradition. It's the idea that where Paul was meeting with Lydia in Acts chapter 16, and it says he taught her the gospel. It's not so much like you're sitting in a classroom, but it is a structure where he's saying that this is a truth. This is a truth. He says the things that I taught you, the things that you learned and received, he wants them to practice those things. But there's more, because he goes on and says this by his life and example. He says, and the things that you heard and seen in me. Now, the word heard is the idea of that they heard Paul teach. They heard Paul telling people. They saw Paul do public ministry, and they watched what he did. They heard him, and then they saw him. They saw what he did. They saw how he lived. They saw how he lived out God's word. So Paul says this. The things you learned from me when I taught you and received from me when I taught you and what you heard when you saw all this stuff and when you seen me, when you saw how I lived, I want you to practice these things. Paul says this, I taught you formally and informally these things you heard and saw in my life. So what does he want them to do? He wants them to practice these things, to live it out. And that word practice means to go over and over and over. It actually means to make a habit. He says, I want you to make a habit in your life of the things that I taught you. That's one reason at Countryside we teach the Bible Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, CBI, small groups. We go through the Bible and we teach the Bible, because what we want you to do is, as the things you've been taught, we want you to practice these things. The whole purpose of the study of the Word of God is application, not knowledge. Now, you have to know it, but a lot of people think you study the Bible so you can know the Bible. No, you study the Bible so you can know the Bible so you can apply the Scripture. That's the purpose. And so Paul says, the things which you learned, you received, you heard, and you've seen in me, practice these things. What are some of the things that he taught them? Well, he taught them the truth of salvation, and they were to tell others. He taught them how to live the Christian life, and they were to help others. He taught them about the future, and they're looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a study at Countryside called the 2-2. It's based off 2 Timothy 2-2, which is the whole basis of this. He says, take the things that you've been taught and trust them to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. That's the whole point. We take what we've been taught, and we turn around and we teach others. We live out what we know, and we train and teach others as well. And that's what Paul is saying to do. Two powerful commands. Put good things in your brain. Think on them. Live out what you know, what you have been taught. Thinking and acting, they go together. Notice how he ends the passage. He said, and the God of peace will be with you. It literally means the God who brings peace. God does bring peace in two ways. We talked about it last week. Peace with God. God brings peace when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We were enemies, but now we're friends. We have peace with God. But the peace of God is how, when we live out the Christian life and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have God's peace in our lives. And that's what he says. The God of peace will be with you. When we're thinking and doing the right things, God is right there, and we have the God of peace. Now next time, next week, when we start in verse 10, he's going to switch a little bit and he's going to begin to talk about contentment. Because the truth is this, how we think and how we live all ties back in even to our contentment. And we're going to see how that ties together. Well, what have we seen? Paul commands the believers, think on the things that are good to bring glory to God. Put these things in your mind. Then he says, live out the truths from God's word. The things that you've been taught, live them out. Let me give you applications. Okay, first one is this. Let's think on the good things. Let's do it. Let's think on the things that are from above, that are from God's word. It's so easily to be pulled by the things of this world, but let's seek to put in our minds the best things. Now, that's a battle. It is a battle. It is not easy. It does not just happen. You have to consciously decide that you're not going to look at certain things, and you have to consciously decide that you're going to think on right things, good things. How do you do that? You got to study the Bible. You got to memorize the Bible. I would recommend that you get you a memorization deal where you get some verses and you begin to memorize God's word and put it in your brain. And if you need the sheets, call the office. I'll give you the sheets that our Thursday morning, Wednesday morning guys use. I'll give you the essentials. And you get those done, we'll give you the mega essentials. If you get those done, we'll give you the more mega essentials. And if you get those done, we'll make up some more. Not make them up, but get them from the Bible, of course. You know that. So put the Word of God in our brain. Study it. Memorize it. Put the good things in our minds. As I said, I'm not going to be legalistic or negative in any way, but be very careful about the books, the magazines, the TV, the movies, all that kind of stuff that we put in our minds, because it can affect us negatively. Because what we put in comes out. Second, live out what we know. Live out what we know. The things that we've been taught from God's Word, live it out. Live out God's Word. It is so vital we do that. Listen, here's the truth. Knowledge without action is useless, but action without knowledge is dangerous. You got to know the Word to live it out. Knowledge worked out is godly wisdom. When you live by the Scripture, that's wisdom. That's why the Old Testament passages about the Psalms and the songs, all the books of wisdom and all that, the Proverbs, they all talk about, here's what you take. Know this truth. Live it out. One final thing I want you to think about. Let's seek to impact others. You know what Paul did? Paul impacted the Philippians by what he taught them and what they saw in his life, his teaching and his actions, his words and his deeds. We got to do the same thing. Let's impact others' lives by our words as we teach them truths and as we live out God's word. Be ready by our words and our deeds to impact others. May we think on good things as we live out what we know, seeking to impact others for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you so much for just these two verses, Lord, but there's so much there. Lord, we want to think on the good things. We do. We want to think on the things from your word. We want to study it. We want to memorize it. Lord, I just pray for all of us in this room that we'll have a time in which we'll study the Bible and we'll memorize the Bible and we'll put our mind on what is right and lovely and honorable and good repute and excellent and praiseworthy and all those things. We'll keep our minds on that and we'll be careful to what we allow comes in our mind. Lord, we want to live out what we know. You've taught us so many things, Lord, through the Word and through other teachers and things. We want to take those truths and we want to live them out and we want to pass them on to others. And then finally, Lord, we do want to impact others by our words and our deeds in the same way that Paul did the Philippians, by what they had learned and received from him and then what they had heard and seen from him. We want to be able to do the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Use us, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.